who's John Corby? Well, Fran and I, my wife, served 16 years with the Alliance in Gabon, Central Africa, right on the equator. And a Peace Corps guy that we ran into in those early years is visiting us this weekend. So, Dave, we're glad you're here. We served 16 years in Gabon, doing multiple ministries, and then 6 years in France, where we lived in Paris, and then 12 years as the regional director for the Europe-Middle East region. We came back to the States 8 years ago, 8.5 years ago now. I've been attending Clay House for about 5 or 6. And because we're focusing on the year-end offering that has to do with missions and the Great Commission Fund, Pastor Tim asked if I would speak this morning, and I'm happy to do that. Catch a theme? Launching has a lot of meanings. Departure, hurl, start, instigate, shoot, take off, throw, begin, depart, fire away, lift off, fling, commence, unleash. We have to generally agree that launching is to start something, to get something into motion. And the theme of this year's Great Commission, our year-end offering, has to do with launching. Launching people. The last few weeks we've shown videos, we've done these leafalopes that you've picked up on your way in and out of the church, about a year-end offering for the Christian and Missionary Alliance, of which Clay House is a part. Now, a lot of you are thinking, oh no, not another appeal. I've just spent so much money on Christmas, and I get all these offerings to participate in this ministry or to this good cause. Here comes the Alliance with a year-end appeal. But why is that different for us? Well, for us, I think it's very different. When I was younger, much younger, I didn't take this picture. But when I was a teenager, I was on the high school swim team, and there was an old quarry outside of town, and it filled in with water, and they had cliffs that were just magnificent. They went up to 90 feet high. I could never do the 90-foot one, but I managed to do 50 feet on a fairly regular basis. You get up there and you kind of edge along the cliff face and you get to the perch where you're going to launch yourself, and you're standing there with your toes looking down 50 feet and you're like, oh my gosh, what is this? Are you crazy? Trepidation, fear. But then you launch yourself and the thrill is incredible. For 50 feet, it takes a few seconds. We used to dive in tandem and you're looking at each other as you're diving down, screaming and yelling all the way down. And then you hit the water, and you come back up, a successful dive. It's not successful if you don't come back up. And I did it. But it only happens when you launch yourself, when you step out, when you jump out. But why the CMA? Why another appeal? Well, these brochures that you've been getting this month, talk about launching a new gospel presence in 12 key locations. A gospel presence. A key gospel presence. What does that mean? For me, we have to take seriously what the Word of God says, especially what Jesus says in John 14 when he says clearly, I am the way, the truth, the life. You know the rest of that verse? No one comes to the Father except through me. That's a rather exclusive claim, isn't it? If there are multiple ways to God, multiple ways to heaven, then Jesus is making a claim that is rather unusual. And in today's world, we have to be careful not to offend other people. We have to allow other ways to enter in. But that's not what the Word of God says. Jesus says, I am the way. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, if that's true, what Jesus says in Matthew 28 to us, therefore, because of all these things, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. This is not just a closed circle. He wants us to go into the whole world and make disciples, baptizing them, teaching them who Jesus is of all nations. In Romans, Paul says, it's easy to believe. He's right there. But how do they call on the one that they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? Think about that. You can't believe unless you hear. And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Someone has to tell them who Jesus is, that he is the way, the truth, and the life. And, whoops, sorry. How can they preach unless they're sent? We're part of a process for people of all nations to hear, to believe, to understand. And we're part of that sending process. But where do we send them? Jesus tells the disciples in Acts 1, after you receive power, you don't do this by yourself. You do this with my power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. You will be my witnesses. And he gives the geographic progression in Jerusalem, your hometown, right where you are, in Judea, the county nearby, in Samaria. Samaria was very close to Jerusalem and to Judea, but it was different, a different culture, a different people, even a different language, a different religion, different beliefs, different everything. The Jews, as you know, never liked to go through Samaria, and yet Jesus is telling his disciples to go to Samaria, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Wow. The Alliance focuses on what we call unreached people, UPGs, unreached people groups. That's generally 2% of the population or less who are true born-again Jesus followers. And I have to tell you, it's not these far-off, long-lost tribes out in the jungles. This happens in cities. When Fran and I lived in Paris, there was a young girl named Nancy, and she wanted to practice her English to improve it before she went off to university. So we made connections with her in a church in upstate New York, and she came to the States for 3 months to practice and improve her English. When she came back, Fran said, so what was the best part about your trip? Oh, just being with people, just being with Christians, it was so cool. Well, what's the most difficult thing since returning to France? I attend a university that has about 30 or 40,000 students in it. I can count on one hand how many of them are Jesus followers. In a place like Paris, it's not just in the jungles where people haven't heard. The issue is access, a lack of access to the gospel, the truth about Jesus Christ, a lack of believers, a lack of churches. Here in the States, there's access everywhere. We have Christian radio, there's Christian television. Not all of it's that good necessarily, but at least it's available. There are Christian bookstores, the internet, there's all kinds of stuff. It's accessible. If I were to ask you here in America, how many people would you have to talk to before you could find one person who could tell you who Jesus is? How many people? Come on, this is participatory. Three? Nope. Four. Actually, the number is six or seven. Statistically speaking, now that may differ in some areas of the country, there may be more, there may be less, but statistically speaking for the States, six or seven people before you could find one true Jesus follower. What about France, a country that we partner with? How many French people would you need to talk with before you found one who was a Jesus follower? 200, 50. There we go. Whoops. 500. 500 people. And you just crossed the Mediterranean to North Africa. How many North Africans, pick any country, whether it's Morocco, Algeria, Libya, Tunisia, even Egypt, how many North Africans would you have to talk to before you found one who could tell you who Jesus is? 30,000 people. I would say that North Africans have very poor access to the gospel. Would you agree? Access matters. And that's where the Alliance goes, to people who don't have access. This map, I'm sorry, this control is, the receiver is in the back behind the wall, and the beams have to bounce properly for it to work, so I apologize for the bumps. Each dot you see on this map represents 25,000 evangelical believers. You see the dark areas. That's where the Alliance is trying to go. Ahmed was a teenager who lived in a village in a Middle Eastern country. And like a lot of teenagers, he and his friends got to a certain age and they began to wonder, is our religion, is Islam really the right true religion? What about Christianity? What's this about Jesus? We know he's a prophet because that's what Muhammad told us. But what about, maybe we can find out more about it. There are churches in the nearby city, so let's go find out. So one weekend, they went to a Catholic church, knocked on the door. The priest opened the door and greeted them. And they said, hey, we have a question for you. And he said, what can I do for you? Well, can you tell us who Jesus is? Oh, no. You're Muslim. I can't do that. Go away. And close the door. Huh. Access? Well, there was a church, but he wasn't willing to talk. The next weekend, they went to an Anglican church, and they knocked on the door, and the Anglican priest opened the door and greeted them, and they said the same thing. Can you tell us who Jesus is? No, I can't. You're Muslim. Go away. Access? A church, but a person not willing to talk. But Ahmed was not to be deterred. That third week, he said, come on, we're going to try again. There's an Orthodox church that we haven't tried yet. So they went to the Orthodox church and knocked on that door, and the priest opened the door and greeted them warmly, and they said, can you tell us who Jesus is? Exact same reaction. I can't. You're Muslim. Go away. But Ahmed knew that there was something about this name Jesus that he didn't know, but there has to be something to it. And that cross, it's on all the churches, so there must be something. So Ahmed went out into the desert, and in that particular country, there's a lot of desert, and he found some big white rocks this size, and in a 20-foot section laid out a white cross that's still there to this day, and turned to the heavens and said, God, if you exist, reveal who Jesus is to me. Each of those dots represent 25,000 believers. There are a lot of dark areas up there. The Alliance uses three main approaches to reaching people in unreached countries: serving communities, multiplying church networks, and developing people. Tim Crouch, our Vice President for Alliance Ministries, says this, that if we want to see multiplying church networks is church planting churches that are nationally run by local people. If we want to see multiplying church networks, we must come to serve communities today and stay to develop people. It's all part of the process. Over this fall, during our missions moments, we've been explaining the four structures that the Alliance uses, the four ways that we send our international workers. Incidentally, if I use international worker, I'm really referring to missionaries, but the term missionary in many countries is seen as being a very negative name, a very negative title. An international worker is a little different, a little calmer, a little more accepted. So if you hear me say missionary, you know what I'm saying, but if you hear me say international worker or IW, I'm referring to missionaries. The one on the left, Cassie spoke to us about back in, I think it was September, Comma Services, the helping hands. Comma responds to global disasters and partners locally to restore communities and alleviate poverty. The next one over, Marketplace Ministries. Bill Dunham was here last month to talk to us about Marketplace and the approaches that these people use in Marketplace professionals who bring their expertise to a community to reach out to disciple those around them. And it works very effectively. That X on the right side in the middle stands for access. These are the most of our workers around the world today who are proclaiming the gospel and multiplying networks of faith communities among the least reached in the world. This is where we focus most of our church planters today. The alt houses that Cassie just mentioned are part of that access network in France, planting a church in the community of Mérignac, just outside Bordeaux in France. I told Cassie to let you know that Sarah passed away. Fran and I knew Todd and Terry in the Gabonese days, and then they served in France when we were in the region. To lose your oldest daughter and to go through weeks and weeks of watching her decline and then finally passing away, I can't imagine what that would be like. Cassie, thanks for praying for them this morning. And I would ask you to pray for Todd, Terry, and Sarah's husband, Evan, and to pray for her siblings, as they've been waiting for this, but the shock of it must be terrible. Todd and Terry are access workers. The one on the right is Envision. Envision identifies and develops leaders through short-term missions experiences and innovative ministry summers, ministry strategies. Last summer, we launched 60 new people, and then 12 more were appointed at our board of directors meeting in October. So there's over 70 people who've been sent out, who've been launched out this year. And I want to remind you, I want to make sure you understand that we use the incarnational approach when we send our workers out. What do I mean by incarnation? Incarnation, we automatically think of Jesus Christ, God with us, Emmanuel, God becoming flesh. We're not saying we're Jesus, but in many ways we become Jesus to people because you engage and emerge with the local culture. You learn the language, you understand the culture, the systems. It's critically important to understand so you can communicate in their heart language. As a regional director, I was visiting church leaders in Bosnia one time, and one of the church pastors said, "I need to talk to you." And he said it in a rather stern voice. I used to often speak with church leaders, and there was always something they wanted to tell me we could do a little better. But this gentleman sat me down and through one of our workers spoke to me. He was speaking Serb, and he spoke to me and said, "When you came here, you sent your missionaries and you made them learn a language. I was so frustrated. That is so stupid. Why don't you use translators? We have English speakers who can easily translate into Bosnian or Serb or Croatian. We can do that for you, and you could jump right into ministry. But no, you insisted that we learn the language." And I thought, okay, here we go. And then he said something that really surprised me. He said, "Thank you." Really? "Thank you. Because they understand us. They speak our language. They understand our culture. They communicate at a level that no other mission has ever communicated to us in." And then he said something that astounded me. "I will never work with another mission organization that doesn't have their workers learn the language." That's what incarnational ministry is all about. And when we send our workers into other countries, into other contexts, we want them to learn the language, understand the culture, immerse themselves so that they can communicate effectively. And most of the places where we're sending people today are to these unreached people groups, UPGs to CACs, unreached people groups to creative access countries. There's some acronyms for you. Creative access, what does that mean? Many of the countries or people groups where we send our workers today are not open to missionaries or to people with religious visas. They don't want that to happen. So we have to find creative ways to get into the country. There's a multitude of ways that works. They're all legal and legitimate. Nothing's illegal about it. But it's you have to take a creative approach. And that happens fairly regularly today. We've talked about the 12 new gospel pathways where we're sending these new people, these new appointees. At-risk women in North Africa, where a team is helping young women transition from the penal system back into society, providing career training and leadership development while quietly and carefully introducing them to Jesus. Migrants in Indonesia. Two Alliance couples have been sent to a city in Papua. Anybody know where Papua is? One, two, three. I'm impressed. It used to be called New Guinea. There's two sides of New Guinea. One's Dutch on the east side. One is Papua on the left side. We're working on the left side because Papua is part of Indonesia. We sent them to a city in Papua to live and work among Muslim migrants, some of whom the government forcibly moved to curtail Papua's independence movement, and other migrants are there for economic reasons. And the team we're sending is developing a strategy for how to best to assist these migrants as they move into their new locations. You heard about, this is very touchy and I apologize, ministry to deaf in West Africa. Did you know that the deaf population is one of the least reached people groups in the world? It's a closed society. We sent a couple there last summer to teach at a deaf school where most of the students are Muslim. The couple is helping to develop the school's curriculum and has opportunities to share Christ with the students. That blows my mind. And you know what? African or French sign language is not English sign language. So not only do they have to learn to hear or understand, they can't hear, sorry. They have to learn French in sign language. I never understood that. And yet, we're reaching an unreached people group there in West Africa. Rohingya refugees in South Asia. probably the most extremely persecuted political group in the world, persecuted in their homeland for religious and political reasons. Nearly a million Rohingya people are struggling to survive and live in horrible conditions in the largest refugee camp in the world. Over a million people live there. KAMA is there for the long haul and will soon launch a pilot program to serve the physical and spiritual needs of this displaced and suffering people. We had a couple, and because this is being taped, I'm not going to mention their name, have been with us in the past, went out this summer. They are that couple working with the Rohingya people there in South Asia. Rural Mong in Vietnam. This blows my mind. After listening to radio broadcasts in their own language, over 400,000 villagers came to Christ. But they don't have pastors. They don't have leaders to teach them. So two couples from the Mong district here in America have been sent to Vietnam to develop a training program for these leaders, these church leaders, these pastors, to develop and help them grow in their faith and in their understanding. Gospel-deprived people in Central Asia. This particular country, I know several of people are working there, and they told me the second largest reason for child's death in that country is, do you know what it is? Did you read the drowning? They can't swim. So they're teaching these people how to swim in pools, in lakes, in rivers, to help cut down on that. And this is being so well received by the people in that country that they're wide open to all kinds of other things. There's an NGO, a non-government organization, we call them nonprofits here, that works there in that country, and they're running these training programs to teach kids how to swim, and at the same time, talking about who Jesus is in a heavily Muslim country. Gospel-deprived people in Central Asia, I just said that. The Vili in Central Africa. The Vili are a tribe who live in, we call the Republic of Congo, Brazzaville, actually is the way it used to be called. Through an oral approach to sharing the gospel, Alliance workers are leading hundreds of these formerly resistant people to Jesus. Communities of new believers now meet in 11 villages where our workers are discipling them through an interactive storytelling technique that brings scripture to life for all who hear. Oral training. These are villagers who may or may not read much and probably don't have a Bible in their own language, in French if they've studied French, but by telling stories orally, people are coming to Christ in that way. The unchurched in Cambodia. After the Khmer Rouge were deposed in 1979, there were zero churches left in Cambodia. I was in Cambodia last year and visited the war museum. The destruction of the Khmer wrecked upon the killing fields where millions were killed for no real reason. Zero churches, no pastors. Pastors had been jailed, left the country, or were killed. The Alliance went back in 91. And today there are 200 CMA churches. The National Church is working to train leaders, translating the Bible for other tribes and unreached people within Cambodia itself, and focusing on planting an Alliance church in every single Cambodian city. We're sending workers to help make that happen. Poor farmers in East Asia. A Christ-centered community development plan is opening doors to share the hope of Christ with rural farmers struggling to survive. This program includes providing microfinancing, market facilitation, and biblical-based training, especially when it comes to ethics and farming. Refugee populations in Atlanta. Last week, Tim interviewed Derek Carr, who spent the 6 months, 8 months in Clarkston, a city just outside Atlanta, where it's home to people from 145 nations of the world. This is a Samaria in our backyard. Kind of in our backyard, it's part of the United States. Most of these people have never heard the good news. This past summer, in Vision that Derek was a part of, the staff had led and visiting teams led 125 refugees to Jesus. 12 house churches have been planted with more on the way. Amazing. In our own backyard, 145 nations represented. Middle Eastern immigrants to Berlin. In response to this huge influx of Muslim immigrants to Europe, the Alliance opened a center in the heart of Berlin to help these disenfranchised people overcome their many adversities. a Syrian immigrant pastor oversees a growing Arabic-speaking alliance congregation that is quickly outgrowing the facilities that we have available right now. And yet, they're reaching into this community of displaced immigrant Muslims they would never have heard about Jesus in their home countries, and they have an opportunity there in Berlin, and they're coming to Christ. Unreached people in Indonesia. Recently, the Indonesian CNMA Church has returned its focus to ministry among the least reached Muslim people groups of Sumatra, that huge island that's the largest island in Indonesia. Many of these groups have no known believers at all. Two Alliance workers now serve alongside local believers where they're bringing good news to two of these unreached populations. 12 new pathways that we're sending people into, that we here in Clay House are part of sending. Let me affirm to you that Clay House is part of the Alliance. You have a stateside family. There are another 5 or 6 Alliance churches here in Colorado Springs. You're part of a Mid-America district, which is part of the Alliance Church here in North America. Here in the U.S., there are over 40 languages used in over 2,000 churches with over 500,000 worshipers who come and call themselves part of the Alliance family. Clay House is part of that. We send 700-plus Alliance international workers into the world, and they serve in over 65 countries today. Clay House is part of that. And 82% of the people that we send work within this particular square. This is not the 1040 window that we hear about. It's a little larger. And it doesn't show all the countries we're in because many of them are creative access and we don't publish those countries. But we're in places all over that map that are not shown in the color. 82% of all our workers go to these creative access places. I have to be honest with you. I'm very proud of that in a good way. I know many other organizations that talk about where they go and what they do, which is good things, but they're working in places that already have way over 2% of the population who are evangelical believers. 82% of the people we send go to places where they're under 2%, and very often are fractions of 1%. North Africa, none of the countries are marked where we're in. But remember that stat? You have to talk to 30,000 plus people before you find one Jesus follower. We've got people in those countries. We've got people in Central Asia. We've got people in Southeast Asia, in places where people have never heard before. Clay House is part of that. Clay House is also part of a worldwide family that we call the Alliance World Fellowship that has 88 countries that have an Alliance presence. Over 180 languages. Oh, this is touching. Can you advance it, please? Oh, 180 languages and 20,000 churches with over 5.5 million worshipers in that context. Yeah, Clay House, you're contributing to something bigger. Thank you. In June this past year, we had a special offering for a Great Commission Day. And I think that was in May or early June, and you gave over $8,400. That helps send people. To date, Clay House, well, through the end of November, Clay House has given over $57,000 to Alliance Missions. That's fantastic. It's part of who we are, and I thank those who participate in that, who are part of that process. Thank you for doing that. But I don't want others of you thinking, oh, cool. We're already given $57,000. Over 18% of our total income goes to Alliance Missions. That's fantastic. I don't need to give. Not so fast. Because joining us in prayer, sending, and giving matter. Ahmed finished high school. Went to college for a couple years, to university. And then got a job in a hotel industry in the southern part of the country where he served. And in his neighborhood, there was a community center that opened. It was called the Life Center. And it began to offer English classes. And Ahmed figured, oh, English classes, that's good. It would help me in my career as being a hotel manager. So he signed up, went several weeks. And every time he walked into the Life Center, in his own words, it was different. There was something that was different. I feel a peace that I've never felt before. After several weeks in the English class, he had the courage to ask Rob one day after class, can we meet for coffee sometime? I've got a question. Rob said, sure. So they met in a coffee shop and they sat down, and Ahmed said, there's something different about you. Looked him straight in the eye and said, can you tell me who Jesus is? Rob was a little taken aback because even though he wanted to share that right away, he had to be careful because in that particular country, conversion from Islam to Christianity is very, very dangerous. So Rob said, why do you ask? And Ahmed said, do you know what you did? Rob said, I don't know what you're talking about. You crazy Americans, you came into this town, you came into this neighborhood, and you bought a haunted house. We did. Don't you remember when you bought it? All the windows were broken out of it. There were stones and rocks everywhere. That's because little kids would come by and throw stones at the devil because there were demons in that house. People would walk down the street, get to the house, cross the street, and pass on the other side, and then come back across. No one goes near a haunted house. Demons and humans do not cohabit. And yet here you are running a coffee shop, English classes, you have a gym upstairs, and this place has hundreds of people coming through every day. Something's different about you. Can you tell me who Jesus is? And Rob gladly, one of our workers, gladly explained who Jesus is. Ahmed came to Christ because Alliance churches like Clay House gave to the Great Commission Fund. We supported Rob through our giving, through our prayers. We sent him and his family. And Rob provided that critical access to the gospel. We were part of that. And that's what our people are doing as they go worldwide today. Wednesday this week, Cassie just mentioned it a moment ago, we launch into a new year, a new decade. It's full of expectations for family, for friends, for work, for church, our own personal hopes. I challenge you as members of Clay House to be part of, to join the Alliance family at the end of this year as we look to the new year to launch new workers into new ministries. We're going to take an offering, a special offering. If you have those envelopes that were passed out, you can put those in. If not, checks, money, whatever, that's up to you. And then we're going to close with a worship song. But thank you for being part of a larger Alliance family. Thanks for what you do as you give, as you pray, to send people to places that need to hear. Thank you. Ushers.